You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Come with me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, San Francisco. Chapter 3, An Education. One of my most beloved teachers used to say, "Sometimes you don't know what you don't know." And boy, that's true. When I embarked on this project, setting out to travel through America interviewing my favorite cowboy poets, I didn't know what lessons might find me. I couldn't yet imagine the surprises set to reveal themselves, and one of the most intriguing has been a lesson on the American educational system. Unlike many children growing up in the U.S. school system, I wasn't educated in one school, even one school district, or even in one state. I attended both private and public schools, small and large, general education and an arts conservatory, a boarding school, and even once considered a charter school before they were all the rage. The differences in our schools, in our school systems, and in educational approaches has always been fascinating to me. As an adult, I've taught in secondary schools and at the university level, and still find education, now being in front of the metaphorical chalkboard, a gift and a responsibility to our youth. And I'm constantly seeking out new information about the way we teach and the way we learn. I often cite my own true story of changing schools each year between 8th, 9th, and 10th grades, and having to study F. Scott Fitzgerald's novel The Great Gatsby all 3 years running as an example of the varied standards we have from school to school. Of course, the fact that I can still stomach the novel, having discussed it and written about it enough to make anyone a little loopy, well, that's a true testament to the greatness of Fitzgerald's text. But the larger point remains. How can one school system decide a text right for a 10th grader, a student potentially 2 years away from university, while another sees it more appropriate for an 8th grade audience? Having seen firsthand the difference in schools across our land, I never had exposure to homeschooling until this project. While not the focus of our show, poets who were the product of homeschooling, or perhaps in the process of homeschooling their own offspring, came up over and over again. I'm embarrassed to admit I had a terrible misconception about the reasons for homeschooling and its results. I imagined the school at home first as an opportunity to isolate. I also imagine the product of homeschooling being children and adults with social issues or a general inability to connect with their peers. I was deeply wrong on both fronts. The homeschooled children and young adults I met on my travels were astonishing. I found bright, engaged, interested, thoughtful, social, creative people. They seemed keen to explore, unafraid to be inquisitive, kind and thoughtful. As we discussed the differences in their education to that of their peers, I never once heard a sentiment of having missed out. No one expressed bitterness at not attending prom, driver's ed, a football game. And two, no one expressed times of bullying, school shootings, having to walk through a metal detector. What was clear to me is the fluidity of a one-to-one or two or three teacher-to-student ratio means homeschools can move in step with their students. There'll be no replication of lessons on The Great Gatsby 3 years in a row, but instead a consistent move toward what's next. This small class size ensures students learn to learn. And isn't that the real lesson? Isn't it most important that we teach how to become critical thinkers rather than just passable test takers? While education is one of the largest and most important issues in our communities, and for no other reason than it will directly shape our next generation community, no politician will run or hope to win on an education platform. The U.S. Department of Education reports that we spend $620 billion a year on education, with approximately $12,000 going to each student per year. Homeschooling families report spending roughly $600 to $900 annually educating students. That's a large discrepancy. Of course, public schooling and homeschooling have opposite approaches. However, I've had to reconsider the validity of homeschooling, and it's all because I was forced to see its exemplary products. I'm inspired by the young homeschooled students I met, and even more inspired by the parents doing the teaching. It's an extraordinary gift these parents give of time, resources, energy, imagination, and love of learning. While there is no clear-cut answer to how to fix America's schools, I will never again assume the homeschooled student is being shortchanged. I now believe it's just the opposite. I'll no longer ask the homeschooled student about missing out on a homecoming dance, but rather wish I could have a seat next to them at the blackboard and see the world anew, ripe, and ready for our unearthing. Perhaps American poet Walt Whitman gave us some insights in his poem, An Old Man's Thought of School. An old man's thought of school, an old man gathering youthful memories and blooms that youth itself cannot. Now only do I know you, O fair auroral skies, O morning dew upon the grass. And these I see, these sparkling eyes, these stories of mystic meaning, these young lives, building, equipping, like a fleet of ships, immortal ships, soon to sail out over the measureless seas on the soul's voyage. Only a lot of boys and girls, only the tiresome spelling, writing, ciphering classes, only a public school. Ah, more, infinitely more. As George Fox raised his warning cry, it is the pile of brick and mortar, these dead floors, windows, rails you call the church. Why, this is not the church at all. The church is living, ever-living souls. And you, America, cast you the real reckoning for your present? The light and shadows of your future, good or evil? To girlhood, boyhood look, the teacher and the school. I'm thankful Whitman and the students I've met along the way remind me that learning lives in my heart, and the zest for knowing was born early, nurtured often, and serves me well. And as always, I'm thankful to you for listening. To learn more about our show, Cowboy Poets and Musicians, or to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.